you looking for solid answers on why our healthcare system is so jacked up? Tired of the soft talk and ready to get real? Then turn up the volume and tune into smashithealthcare.com, where real, serious medical advisors are discussing how to save our healthcare system.
Get ready to get smashed.
Hey, Smashers, we're back here. We're on the mic. This is Bob Salvat. I got John Blackman, Dan Salvat. We're all here today, ready for you. And we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. And listen, I just want to say one more thing about social media. We mentioned it on last show. And I just want to say thank you to all of our new followers out there and everybody who's downloading the show. This is awesome. I love it. We're all working together to try and move the needle forward in creating a difference. And when I say creating a difference, we feel like healthcare needs a technological upgrade. We feel like, you know, things need to be done to stop the wasteful spending. Okay. This doesn't mean that we're into, you know, socialist healthcare methods and things like that. That's not where we're going with this. We're just saying, where is all the money going? Why do we have to have wasteful spending? Why do we have to, you know, charge exorbitant amounts for things and, you know, deal with the whole reimbursement game and so on and so forth? So anyone who didn't listen to that last episode, we highly encourage you to do so. We also talked about Dan Crenshaw, congressman, hero of mine, right? He's definitely smasher type category. Can't wait to meet him. I know it's going to happen. I'm speaking it forward. John, how you doing, man? How's it going over there, brother?
Well, I'm awake now from listening to the intro. Feeling good. Really, really love where we went on the last episode. Fantastic stuff. I can't wait to get a little more involved and a little deeper into some different variables. And I feel like we're making a difference. Let's carry on, Bob.
All right, party on, Garth. So today we're going to talk a little bit about overspending, okay? And guys, I'm taking this out of this book, The Price We Pay, another hero in the healthcare revolution arena is Dr. Marty Makary, okay? And Dr. Marty Makary, he has taken his time to go through the entire healthcare system, I feel like, because it's a really long book and I'm a slow read. But he's got over, you know, 250 pages here or so of just great information. So I highly suggest that you get it. I bought mine off of Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. But we all need to be more informed about this. Would you agree, John?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Do we really, you know, it's funny. You know, we talk about it in politics, right? And they're like, why does a toilet cost $15,000, right? And then everybody freaks out, right? And then the presidents get it. You know, everybody who's looking to be a president or run for office, do we really need a $15,000 toilet? And da 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 da. And then they go get in the office, and then the toilet all of a sudden now is $15,030, right? It never gets fixed, right? It continues to be a problem. Or now the toilet's only $5,000, whereas, you know, my predecessor was $15,000. Right. I don't know why we're talking about toilets. I got kids. They talk about poop. Maybe that's why. But the thing is here, it doesn't need to be that way. And it's the same with healthcare. It's the same with healthcare. John, have you ever had a procedure done where you've gone back and you've looked at the bill? Right. And Danny, if you've had something like this, please chime in. Let us know. I like to hear your freakish, loud, shrieking voice talk to me about what you've... I'm just kidding. My brother's got a great voice. What is there? Is there ever been a charge, an outrageous charge, and you look at the bill and you're like, what the heck is this? Right?
Yep.
Talk to me. Have you ever seen one of those?
So for me, the answer is yes. Mine's pretty specific. I haven't really had any procedures, you know, no surgeries, nothing like that. But the most eye-opening experience I ever had was I had blood work done, simple blood work, and a bunch of different tests, wide panel, full panel. And I got this bill, and this was back when I had insurance. And I got this bill, and they sent me the bill like I didn't have insurance.
And I got hold on, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but for all of you listeners out there who don't know, John is a freaking insurance anomaly. This guy has figured out a way, okay, to beat the insurance program, at least for him and his age and his family and what he's doing. It's an amazing matrix of sorts. I think we talk about it in, I don't know, what is it, episode 2, 3, 4, but it's incredible. I want to go back and listen to it again because I think I might apply it, although I don't know if my wife would be cool with it. But definitely worth listening to. So I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah. So essentially I get this bill and it goes through every blood test that was requested. And of course they did those blood tests and this total fee, I mean, they stuck a needle in my arm, drew blood, and I got a bill for close to $5,000.
Shut up. Your mouth.
Blood test.
John, tests. You're a pretty big dude, man. Did they have some sort of like massive freaking needle that they shoved in you with, like, you're also kind of an eccentric kind of dude. So maybe it was like gold tipped. Oh, he'd like the gold tipped one. You know, maybe there was some copper lining in there for antibacterial sorts, some high tech stuff. Look, I get the high tech stuff. You want to charge a lot for technology? I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. My medical device manufacturers out there, you got some high tech, cool stuff that's making me. And I think that's a great idea. If somebody out there wants a patent, a copper freaking, you know, needle or something to help with antibacterial, that's awesome, right? If you've got to do something along those lines and charge a little bit extra for it, I'm with you. That to me makes sense.
Unfortunately, Bob, there was nothing eccentric about the testing. 3 or 4 vials of blood and a big fat bill a month later. It was absolutely grotesque and horrifying.
$5,000?
Yes, sir.
That's crazy. Then,
of course, I made a phone call, let them know that I did have insurance at that time. They went back and kind of, you know.
Phone call to the police, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, smokes.
They did the magic of the insurance pricing, and it came back, and then I think I owed, I don't know, $300, $250, $300, which was all out of pocket because of the massive deductible that I have. So, which, you know,
all right,
it's kind of what I was expecting, right?
Let's work through this for a second. Okay, let's work through this for a second. Okay. You go get your blood work done. You get a bill. The bill's astronomical. Okay. You basically call somebody, right? You talk to the biller or whatever. What the heck is this?
Yep.
Right. And then at the end, they turn around and they tell you, hey, you know, really, if you pay $300 or $400 or whatever it was, $200, $300, $400, you're good. You're fine. Bill's canceled. We're not going to go after your credit. We're not going to send you a million letters. Is that what I'm hearing from you right now?
Not exactly. So this was a situation where they didn't know I had insurance. They did not have my insurance information. So I simply called the facility back, the phlebotomy group that took the blood, gave them my insurance credentials, and they said, throw that bill away. We'll start over with your insurance. They sent my insurance, the claim. The insurance said, this is what we'll pay. The group that did the testing said, that's fine. That's our contract from you guys. So we'll take that money, which was a lot less than $5,000. I want to say it was $1,200 or $1,300. And then my insurance sent me the remaining out of pocket, which was close to $300. So the $5,000 ended up getting whittled down to about $1,500 once the contract kicked in for the insurance.
So the $5,000 was if you were going to do self-pay.
Correct.
You know, I feel like they almost like, you know, throw like a dart at the board in the dark and saying, you know, let's see if this guy will pay this number, or, you know, there's no like method to the madness. They almost like, well, let's see what happens. So we'll just send them, you know, a bill for this. And then, you know, there's some people out there who just don't read it, or they're just, oh man, and this is medical, I got to pay it. And so they just don't even call and ask. And then they pay this these poor people. You know, this is,
I actually think it's a little bit more nefarious than that, Bob.
Really?
Indulge me for 30 seconds. Okay. So
Danny, are you timing this?
Let's call this rack rate. And to bring it more into layman's terms, if you've ever stayed at a hotel, okay, each hotel room has a rack rate, right? So most of them in the old days, they actually had the rate of the room on a placard on the inside of the door. Okay. So let's say you're staying at a Hilton in New York City and you ask the lady at the front desk, you say, "Hey, what's the rack rate for the room?" She might say $500, right? Well, I think that this bill was rack rate bill, right? Nobody pays $500 to stay at the Hilton in New York City. You go on hotels.com, you go on Expedia. Heck, you could just go out and call the front desk and say, "Hey, on Expedia, they want 100 a quarter. Will you guys just take 100 a quarter? I'd rather just deal with you." You know what they're going to say? Yeah. Yeah. Because they know that they're saving the 3, 5, 6, 8, 10% that they have to pay Expedia or hotels.com to broker the room to you. Right. They're saving the brokerage fee. So them taking the 125, they're actually making money on that transaction. Now, I don't understand the rack rate when it comes to blood work specifically, but I think it cross pollinates into almost all the different specialties in terms of what healthcare is costing. I think what it is I think it's the dart on the board. Like you said, they're throwing it out and they're saying, "Hey, you don't have a contract with us, insurance company. This is what we charge." And then they have a negotiation with the insurance company and they say, "Well, no, we're not going to take $1,500. We'll take $2,500." And they hash it out. And the weird thing is if that was an individual patient, they'd be much more likely to say, "Well, I'll tell you what, give us $300 or $400 and we'll call it a day." Because they don't, you know, they have to be somewhere in the middle of this advocacy statement, right? They have to be an advocate for their patients. They can't just take their patients to the cleaners. That's not good for anybody. And in this day and age with technology, I get on my phone, I can send out one bad review from a facility or a doctor or an anesthesiologist or a nurse or whatever, and the whole world sees it. So,
well, hold on a second. Hold on. Stop the press. Hold your horses, Big Bear.
Okay. You don't like my rack rate?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I was reading, you know, Dr. McCarty's book. And he actually, folks, I'm going to page 27. All right. Told you I'm a slow reader. All right. But I made some notes here. Okay. So I guess he stopped, you know, don't quote me on this. You guys can read the book. Okay. Close friends of his sister and her husband, right? He stops by their house or something. He bumps into them when they were over for dinner. And explains that he's writing this book, right? And so they start telling him about how they went to a hospital in Washington, D.C., prominent hospital, okay, for a little skin growth on the woman's finger. I guess her name was Heather, okay? So she went to go have this procedure done on her finger, right? Months later, she gets smacked with, okay, here we are, guessing game. Everybody's going to take a guess real quick, all right? You got like a little mole. Moly, 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 guacamole. You got a little moly on the tip of your finger, right? You got to get it removed. Everybody's looking at your finger. You know, they think, you know, maybe you picked your nose. You know, I don't know. It depends if it's a brown one. If it's a brown one, they might be looking at you kind of funny. Here we go with the poop talk again. All right. So you got a little growth on your finger. You're getting it removed. Okay. How much does that cost? How much does that cost? You go to the doctor. You're officially having this thing removed for the rest of your life, hopefully. Okay. Maybe it's big. Maybe I gotta dig deep. You know, one time, I'll tell you a quick story. One time I removed my own. I had something that was growing on my knuckle. I played football. I would always stick my finger. I'd get crack in my knuckle and then I'd stick my finger in the dirt. And then, so this growth started to grow. And I'll tell you, I tell my kids this story. They almost pass out. One night I just said, "I'm getting rid of this thing." And I took a X-Acto knife. I had a X-Acto knife from an old modeling kit that I had. And I just started cutting around this thing. And then I took a nail clipper and I went down deep on this thing and I just went. And I mean, I went deep, blood everywhere. I mean, it was crazy. I almost passed out. I take a lighter to the X-Acto knife and I heat it up. And then I just, boom, stick it right in my knuckle.
What's wrong with you?
Gone. Never came back. With you? You know how much it cost me? It cost me about 30 minutes. That's all it cost me. Okay. And it was gone forever. Never has come back.
Cost you shame and agony. Don't.
No, it didn't. I was good, man. I was good. What was shameful is, you know, you're going out with a girl and you're holding a hand and you got this freaking gnarly thing in your hand. And
it's a six.
Just, you know, it was nasty. So anyway, it's gone. Gone. But this poor girl, she did the right thing. She went to the doctor. Okay. And she wanted to get this thing removed. So I can empathize with this. All right. I can really empathize with this situation. All right. So I want you each to take a whack at how much you think this cost.
I'm the last guy because I had a $5,000 vial of blood.
Come on, so dude. Give me a number.
Six grand.
Whoa. $6,000 to take a mole off your finger? Dude, I hope you freaking never go into billing. What about you, Danny? What do you think?
I'll say half, $3,000.
$3,000? You guys are crazy. Holy smokes, $3,000? What do they got to do to get this thing off? Bring out a freaking medical chainsaw? This is nuts. Laser. Now, if it was laser, I'm with Danny. I don't know why. It's cool technology. Laser costs a lot. It cauterizes as it goes through. Maybe I'm with you, Danny. But the guy who's got to use a scalpel stitch and all of that, no, that dude's getting nothing. That dude's getting just a few $100 because I did it with a X-Acto knife and a nail clipper, buddy. All right. So listen, want to know what you got hit with? A bill for $10,000. Higher than what both of you guys said. Crazy. Almost add you two together and add $1,000, right? Wow. So listen, $10,000. Now, she doesn't really look or read into the bill. People, read your bills. John read his bill. Heather didn't read her bill. Guess who read Heather's bill after this? Dr. McCarry. What a good guy, right? He's a good guy. He was interested. He wanted to know. I'm writing a book on this stuff. Let me look at it. So he looks at it, and he realizes she got charged $87 for a blanket. Did she stay the night? And if she did she get to take the blanket with her? Was it like, you know, an Egyptian cotton kind of blanket, or was it your everyday hospital kind of scratchy kind of blanket? I need to know these things in order to make a direct assessment. I don't know these things. All right. Now, then he continues to read and he sees something very interesting. This is going to blow your freaking mind. Blow your mind. Let me ask you a question, Danny. How long do you think it takes to cut a mole off of somebody's finger? Okay, John.
5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes. Okay, 5 to 10. I'm with that.
Are we talking total? Are we talking total OR time, or just the actual act of just the cutting? How long did they cut for?
That's a great question. We need to go into this, right? So you got to prep the room. Right. Uh-huh. You got to prep the little Mayo stand. Is she going into some big OR room? Is she not going to some big OR room? You know, so let's say you're prepping a Mayo stand. I can tell you if this is the ER and it's trauma, they're just giving you a little Mayo, throwing a blue sheet over it. And they got, you know, either a staple gun or some, you know, stitches or something ready to go with super a little glue. Knife. Right. Super right. Glue. Super glue. Super glue. It. Okay. So what are you saying? How long?
The actual cutting, I would say 5 seconds. 10 seconds tops.
10 seconds. Lance that sucker right off, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Laser beam. Done. Done. Luke Skywalker, where you at? Right? I love it. I love it because that's what really I'm thinking and that's what you should be doing. But here's the case. Here's what actually happened. Are you ready for this? They put her to sleep. General anesthesia, folks.
For
mole removal. John, holy what climate. Explain? I want you to enlighten us. Okay. What is general anesthesia?
General anesthesia is a big dog. That's a tube in your throat. That is all of your, basically your life becomes is in the hands of a machine and a guy sitting there attenuating the machines. That's
trained anesthesiologist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keeping you alive artificially.
It's being put to sleep and
put to sleep. How long is it taking to put you to sleep? Prep and everything.
Not as long as it takes to wake you up.
Right. But no, seriously, how long does it take to put you to sleep? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
5-10 minutes?
Once they start inducing the sevoflurane, probably 10 seconds, but it takes you an hour to get there.
Then they got to intubate you.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes you an hour to get there.
Yeah, exactly. So they got to do all this stuff. Crazy. She could have had this thing lance off in freaking 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. A couple little local anesthetic, couple little shots. And that poor lady's at it. I'll tell you what, you know, she stopped over. My wife would have made her, you know, something to drink or something like that. I would have taped her hand to the table with some duct tape. I would have went to work. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I probably wouldn't have charged her, but it might have ended up on YouTube. Maybe. I don't think
she'd be your friend afterwards.
I don't think so. I don't think that would have worked. That might have been a bad idea. But listen, and people out there, don't do that. That's dangerous. Okay, so listen, she it's ended
also
up
illegal.
Probably. I am not a medical.
You can mutilate yourself, but you can't mutilate someone else.
Yeah, just don't do that. Well, knowing me, I'm very legalistic with that. I probably would have had her sign a waiver. Anyway,
I would have done it. Here's a drink first. Here, have a glass of wine. Now sign this.
I had a drink for mine. I'll tell you that. All right. So listen to this. So she turns around and Marty McCartney, can you imagine this guy's eyes? He's looking at this. He's going, what?
They put and he's a doctor too. That's the beauty of this.
He's a beauty of this. The guy's looking at this. He's probably freaking going, you. And so he goes, they put you to sleep. What are you talking about? And she goes, I don't know. She was nervous, right? She's like, when I went in, I thought they were just going to numb it and they were going to, you know, cut it off. I was shocked, but you know, they came in and someone came in and took me into surgery and said they were going to be doing general anesthesia. And she said, I told him I didn't want general anesthesia. Nevertheless, in her frightened and intimidated state, the general anesthesia is what she got. And they wheeled her in. They put her to sleep.
Not acceptable. Not acceptable, period.
Not acceptable.
That's malpractice.
All right, I'm going to tell you a quick story about me, okay? I had a meeting that I had to go to, and they were going to do, later that day. But that morning, I had an endoscopy scheduled. I needed to be very awake for this meeting. This meeting was a very important meeting, and I just did not want that meeting to be messed with. So I looked up on YouTube, and this is dangerous, folks. Don't believe everything you see on YouTube, but I went up on YouTube and I saw that you could do an endoscopy without general anesthesia or without, you know, anesthesia putting you to sleep.
Of course you can.
Right. And I was like, you know, I don't want to be put to sleep because then I'm going to wake up all kind of groggy and, you know, and that's it. And, you know, I've worked in med device. I've seen actually some scopes with cameras that we've had and they've been no bigger than the diameter of a pen, folks. Okay. A camera that's the diameter of a pen. Okay. Okay. You listening to me? They come to me, they go, you sure you don't want to go to sleep? I'm like, listen, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I swear to you, I had 8 people ask me. They said, okay. They give me a little bit of like spray for the back of my throat. They make me gargle something. And they wheel me into this room, which already I should have, you know, I don't know. I just should have looked around and said, stop. I should have said stop because it was like a closet and there was boxes everywhere. And there's like 8 people in the room. Right. So for those of you who don't know what an endoscopy is, right? They take a tube, they stick it down your throat and they're going to look down your esophagus and they're going to look down into your stomach and your upper GI. And they're going to see if you got any issues.
They're going to check out your duodenum.
That's it. Duodenum check.
Duodenum.
There you go.
Often referred to as the duodenum. Hey, like duodenum better.
Listen to John. All right. So I go in. They strap my hands down, John. They strap my hands down. Okay. Danny, I don't know if you've heard this story. They strap my hands down. And this guy goes, okay, we're going to put a mouthpiece in because we can't have you bite down on the camera. So I'm thinking, this is a very expensive camera. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I could be biting down on this thing. it's a small little camera, you know,
slide his iPhone down your throat.
The mouthpiece is pretty big, right? And I'm like, Uh-oh. And he goes, okay, listen, I'm gonna put some air and I'm gonna do this and, you know, try to whatever. And he gets his big Tupperware box. He opens this lid.
It's so good.
And when I tell you, he pulled out the biggest anaconda I've ever seen of a camera. Okay. I'm strapped down at this point. I got this mouthing.
I've had a change of heart.
Little bit of tears are coming out of my eyes from having my jaw open at this point. And at an instant, I finally understood why there were 8 people in the room, because none of them have ever seen anyone do this without anesthesia.
Somebody was recording that, I promise you.
Oh my gosh, I probably am on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, that's so
good. This guy proceeds to put a freaking bag over this thing and lube it up, and he just starts putting it down my throat. You know, just
did you try to wink at him? Like, stop.
Oh my gosh, I was twitching out, and it was horrible, man. And the guy's telling me, like, don't burp. Yeah, you know, I'm putting air down there.
Crying.
I need to see.
So good.
And I'm like, ugh. I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, screw you, right? And then he's like, oh, I'm gonna take some samples with these alligator clips, right? But he must have forgot, because right before he started taking samples, he goes, oh, everything looks super clear. It looks like brand new down there. This is amazing. And then he goes, but I'm going to take some samples. Dude, he starts clipping the crap out of my insides. And you don't have nerves in there, but I felt it, man. And he must have took like 8 to 10 samples of these sharp little alligator clips. He keeps dropping down. If my hands weren't taped down, I'm telling you right now, I would have pulled that thing out of my mouth myself, and I would have strangled him with it. Okay.
I want to see this video.
Anyway, I get wheeled out of the closet with the 8 people and the cardboard boxes to the roof that I was in, right? And I get wheeled back into the common area, and I you know, tears are coming out of my eyes just because I've been totally abused. And I look at
it out of your mouth. That's what
self-inflicted, because I'm the idiot. I should have listened to the 20 people that came up to my bed telling me to take anesthesia. And I said, can I have some water? To the nurse, or, you know, the orderly, whoever's helping out, right? And they look at me and they go, you know, you really need to wait about 5 minutes before you have any water. And I look at her straight in the face. I said, ma'am, I just had a 20-foot long anaconda shoved down my throat while I was wide awake.
With a bite block.
I go, I don't care what your policy is. I go, I need some water with a little bit of ice, please. She was like, okay.
You're one of a kind, Bob.
They go to wheelchair me out of there. I'm like, I'm all right. I'm out. Oh, get me out of here. I'm all right. No wheelchair.
I'm good.
Anyway, so I don't know, Heather, if you're listening, Dr. Martin McCarty, Heather, if that's even your real name, you know, I empathize for you. I wish you in this case would have went my route, but, you know, just don't do that with an endoscopy. And by the way, this is a shout out to all those companies out there who are making these cameras for the endoscopies and all those. If you're making a smaller one, okay, you need to market yourselves better. All right. There are some places who need your technology. And I'll tell you what, there should be some patients out there who are willing to pay a little bit extra. Okay. I would have even, you know, chipped in $87 for the blanket too at this point. But instead, I probably paid $150 for the bite block. Anyway,
it's too good.
All right, guys. Listen, we're going to wrap the show up here. But John, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to this? I mean, come on.
I don't think I want to be the person to follow the anaconda scope with a bite block. There's nothing left for me to say. The one thing I would say is to our listeners, whatever Bob does, typically do the exact opposite and you'll be much better off. So if someone ever offers you general anesthesia, take it. Unless you're Heather.
Listen, I'm being honest and vulnerable with my fellow Smashers. Don't give me a black eye. Listen, Smashers, if you're out there and you got a story like that to share, we want to hear it, all right? this is shortly becoming one of the world's best shows on saving healthcare. And I'll tell you what, I will share what I got to share in order for it to come to light. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're ready to put your cojones on the table, give us a like, a thumbs up, subscribe to what we got going, email us, share some content with us, and I'll tell you what, we'll shout back. All right? And with that, we're out. Do something, people. Think differently. If you like today's show, then join the mission. Become a fellow smasher. We're passionate about saving healthcare. Subscribe, like, share, tell your friends. Together, we can make a difference. Go to smashithealthcare.com. This show was brought to you and sponsored by Omedza.com.